Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 mg dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 mg dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hi, friends. I'm back. It's been a long week in the hospital, but I figured I would come on and just talk about my life. It's kind of like waking up in the same day over and over again, but little things change. And I kind of want to just talk about my experience in the hospital because I think there's some confusion maybe about why I've been in the hospital for so long or what I'm doing here. I don't know. I guess I never really understood why people stayed in the hospital either after they had surgeries or injuries. I always assumed being at home would be nicer unless you really need intensive care, but I will, yeah, go over that this episode because why not? I'm bored and who doesn't love listening to someone's hospital life, right? Okay, so first off, after my surgery, once I got to Austria after my surgery, I got taken to intensive care because I think for a bunch of reasons, but number one was I just had like a really invasive surgery and I had already undergone two surgeries within 5 days. So, or 4 days, no, 5 days. So I think they were kind of just like wanted to monitor me more and make sure that I had more constant care because in the ICU, there's like way more nurses. There's more machines, there's more tracking. So anyways, after my surgery, I went to ICU. And when I got there, I was still pretty out of it because I'd been on like heavy medication for the first few days after my injury because of the pain and just everything. So I was kind of out of it the first day. But then I don't know, I guess I just kind of started to get more with it as like the next couple days went on and I started to get to know my nurses. I think because it was Christmas holidays, there were less of them on rotation. So I had the same nurses, like the same day nurses and same night nurses for like multiple days in a row, which was super nice for me because I was able to get to know the nurses and they kind of got to know me and like, okay, sorry for the beeping. That is my game ready. But the nurses got to know me and my like routine and schedule, which made the first week so much easier. Like the first few days, I had the same nurses and we got in this like rhythm. And I think that they got to know my personality a little bit, which was really nice because then we all got really close and I felt like I could really trust them and made the hospital experience way less scary. But I got so close to them that one day over the break, I had a night nurse that I had never had before after my like first 3 days with the same one. And I just started crying because I was so sad that I didn't have my regular nurse. And I think you're just so like fragile and emotional when you're in that state and you just feel really vulnerable. Like I couldn't move on my own. My leg was really swollen and really painful, and they had put these like vacuum things on my scars because the scars go like the entire from my knee to my ankle basically because of the compartment syndrome. So they basically put the vacuum seal things on. They had little, it had a little pump. It was really weird, but the vacuums went along my scars and were there basically to suck any like I don't know, fluid or blood or anything that was like coming out of the stitches or the wound, just to make sure that it stayed clean, it stayed without infection, because I'd already had two open wounds for like 4 days. So they were a little bit worried about infection, so they put the vacuums on. Anyways, I couldn't move. I was like very reliant on everyone around me, and I know that they were trying to make it seem like my life was as normal as possible in there. But looking back, now that I've been in like the regular care center, it was definitely really weird and a little bit scary because there were so many doctors, so many people asking me questions and trying to get me to wiggle my toes. And one day I couldn't wiggle my toes and it was like the scariest thing ever. But it turned out to just be the nerve catheter that I had for the pain. Anyways, so I got to know the nurses really well. And when I was down there, the first few days were really slow. It was really all about just like getting me to sit up a little bit. Like I was basically lying down flat because I was so out of it with the drugs and my leg. And then the next few days, like I think after day 3 or 4, that was when they got me to try to sit up, and that was the craziest feeling. Like sitting up for the first time in a chair, I was so dizzy. I'd already been super low blood because they tried not to give me an infusion for the 3 surgeries I had, but they realized the morning after my last surgery that my blood was really low because I think with like the compression syndrome surgeries, I'd basically just been kind of like slowly bleeding for like 5 days. And then I also had 3 really long surgeries. So they gave me some blood, but I was already really white. Like my skin was really white. My face was like had no color in it, which I'm sure was terrifying. I looked like a little ghost. But then they would put me in. I'm not saying they would put me in. We would. For like 10 minutes. It was like a big production to get me from the bed into a chair where my leg was still upright, but just all of the color would drain from my face. So I was like completely, completely white, and that would freak them out a little bit. And I was so dizzy, like just couldn't really, my eyes were super fuzzy, like I couldn't see very well. So I basically felt like a baby. Honestly, looking back, I was basically just a baby. I was like, can you guys just do everything for me, please? But, you know, after, you know, a week in the hospital, they want to make sure that your organs and everything start working on their own and start doing proper things. And I had started eating again, which was a huge step because I was like not eating when I was in France. I was really, the drugs were hitting me. I was not doing well. So when I got to Austria after my last surgery, I finally started to eat. And that was when they were like, okay, it's time for you to go to the bathroom. And that was probably like the scariest feeling ever, was knowing that I was going to have to like get put in a chair, then wheeled to the bathroom with like, I had so many cords on me. I had 2 nerve catheters that were attached to constant pumps. So I was attached to that by 2 cords. My leg had the 2 vacuums. So that had 2 cords coming out into a little bag. So I would have to wear the bag. And then I also had my IV. I think I had 2 IVs at that point. So there was a lot of chaos, but anyways, They got me to the bathroom, and that was like the first real step in when I started to feel better, is once they started getting me sitting upright. And I would only last like 10 minutes sitting, and then they would put me back in bed and I would sleep or literally do nothing for the rest of the day. But we did that for the next like 3 days, and then that was when they decided it was time to kind of get my leg down. And once we started putting my leg down, like, I had the craziest nerve pain. It felt like I had all of my blood going to my foot, like I'd get really dizzy. And anyone who's had like leg surgery, I think, has had that same feeling where all of a sudden you get the craziest feeling in your legs. So once we did that, and once I was able to stand up on my own with the walker for like 1 minute, I do take like 5 steps with the walker. And then I started to be able to use the wheelchair by myself. And that was when, so that was almost exactly a week post-op. And that was when the surgeons decided, okay, you are good enough. You can get around enough on your own to move up to like the regular care center, because obviously they don't want to keep you in the ICU forever. Number one, it's like very overwhelming. Once you are able to take care of yourself a little bit more, it just feels very like you're being watched all the time. There's a lot going on. It's kind of a scary environment. Like when I was there, there were like 4 new traumas came in. So it's not like the most peaceful place to heal. So they got me up to the regular unit, and this is where I've been for the last week. And it's definitely different. Like, I have crutches now. So like 2 days after I got up to this unit, they started teaching me how to use the crutches. And we've been kind of, you know, trying to make little steps every day to make it feel more like normal life. And I really appreciate that, because like even the physios, we get physio 2 times a day here. And even the physios now will have me take my wheelchair and come meet them down in the actual physio room rather than them coming up to my room and we do physio in my room, which is cool. It's like a change of scenery for me. I feel a little bit independent. Like, I get to go take the elevator by myself. So that's where what I've been up to the last week. But I think that for me, like, I have been very positive through this whole thing. And the number one thing for me, I think, that keeps me sane is just like knowing that I'm very lucky with, even though it's a serious injury, I am very lucky with how it ended and had the result. Like, the surgery went well, and there was definitely a point where we weren't entirely sure what my leg was going to look like. So I think that now I have a appreciation for all the little steps we're taking and how things are healing. But also, I think that when I don't know, I think I said this in my last podcast, where you kind of have to trick yourself into a little bit of a state of delusion. But the hardest part for me, like the thing that gives me some tough thoughts, is when people remind me like how serious my injury was. Or I've had a couple people who saw my x-rays. I mean, I posted my x-rays, so that's not a surprise, but some, like, even in the hospital, some of the doctors or some of the other patients, or I don't know.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches, but there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list: teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. and you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
People will tell me, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how extreme your injury was. I can't believe that you're able to do all this stuff already. And that's like the scarier part for me, is it reminds me, it brings me back to like reality where, yeah, this is a really serious injury and it's not going to be easy. But I think that if I didn't have the constant reminders from people that it is a really bad injury, I don't think I would get as scared as I sometimes do. And also, like, I get these kind of guilty feelings where I've come to peace with it. I have, you know, accepted where I'm at. I've accepted the injury and all of the stupid stuff that's going to come with it, and the, you know, missing my sport for the next however many months / years. And there's just so many other people involved in my life, in my ski career, like, who feel guilty or, you know, it weighs on them. And that gets me. That's like one of the worst feelings, is when you are the one who is going through it and who's like having to, you know, do the rehab and go through the pain and everything, but then you also know that you are causing other people stress or like fear. And I don't want people to feel that way. I don't want anyone of my friends or my family or anyone who listens to my podcast to feel like I don't deserve this, or that like this is unfair, or there's something I could have done to change it, because it's what it is, what it is. I can't change it. No one can change it. And I'm okay with that. I obviously don't want to be here, but I am. And it's no one's fault. Maybe it's a little bit my fault, but it's no one's fault. Life happens. I think that there are so many injuries in this sport, and yeah, like mine's on the extreme end of things, but realistically, all injuries suck. Like any injury where you have to miss what you're doing and take time off and rehab and go through the pain and the disappointment, like it's all the same feelings and it's all the same emotions, but sometimes it just lasts longer because you have to rehab for longer. But yeah, I guess a lot of my like frustrated feelings or sad feelings come from when other people tell me, or when other people feel bad for me, or yeah. So hopefully if you're someone listening to this, don't feel bad. Don't. You can like be frustrated for me, but you don't need to vocalize it to me. And you can just be a supporter along my journey back to healthy reality, because no matter what, I'm going to get healthy again. Who knows what the next reality looks like? Right now in my head, it's 100% coming back to skiing and pushing to be one of the top downhill / speed girls again. That's not even a question, but who knows? The future is so unknown that I can't tell you 100% what's going to happen. I'm going to kind of segue out of this because I feel like I got into a little bit of an emotional situation there. And I'm sitting alone in my hospital room and I don't want to get too dark and gloomy. But I guess if you are someone who is going into surgery or dealing with an injury, just be prepared that your body reacts in different ways, and it feels really scary in the moment sometimes, but it passes, and it's all part of the healing journey. Like for me, my eyes were blurry for like 10 days after my surgery. Like I could not see out of my right eye properly. So, and then now I can see great. And you know, your digestion's going to be messed up. It's going to be really hard to get your blood flowing again properly. Like if you're in a bed like I am, where you're lying down for 2 weeks straight, you are going to feel really weird when you sit up for the first time, or when you try to stand up, or when you try to use crutches. Like everything the first time you do it is really intense, and that's fine. That's normal. Don't feel like it's not supposed to feel that way, because it is. And just kind of embrace it, and you know, try to remember how you feel, because then the next time you do it, you're going to feel totally different. And for me, that's like the craziest part, is remembering the first time that I went to the bathroom by myself, and I was like in so much pain. My leg just felt like it was going to explode, because it hadn't been, you know, below my heart for 2 weeks or 10 days. And then now I can like crutch to the bathroom by myself. I can go brush my teeth. I can do whatever I need to do. And I can wheel myself to physio. I can hop around. I can use the hand bike. Things progress pretty quickly on that side of things. And it's okay to be scared in the moment, but just remember that it is going to get better. And everything takes time. Even if it's not a lot of time, still it takes time. I was just looking at, I made some notes about what I wanted to talk about in this podcast, but I started doing it a while ago, like when I first had the surgery. And one of the things I wrote was that things move a lot slower at first than you think. And on one hand, yes, that's true, because the first week was so slow. Like I didn't have any movement in my leg. It was like, can you wiggle your toes? Basically, it was all I was doing. And, you know, sitting upright was like the big goal of the day. But now that I'm past that like 1 week point, things, like there's little things that change every day. And I mean, I'm not up and walking yet, but I have little accomplishments every day that make me feel really good. And it does feel like things are moving faster now than they were at first. So I think that it like, you know, goes up and down with the timeline of things. But yeah, at first it did feel really slow. And now looking back, I'm like, wow, it's only been, you know, 2 weeks since my last surgery. And I'm like a different person already. So just be patient with yourself, even if things feel really slow at first. I think they change pretty quickly. And, you know, even if they don't change pretty quickly, they change eventually. Okay, the last point from this podcast is something that me and Matthias, who's one of the other athletes who's on this floor, we were talking about the other day, is how when you're in like an injury and you're living it every day and you are trying to heal and, you know, there's a lot going on, you're basically just expect yourself to be emotionally capped at all times. So like going about your normal day, you are already at your max capacity emotionally. So anytime any little thing happens, your emotions are going to feel over your cap and it's going to feel way more extreme. Like for me, it's sometimes when my mom would answer a phone call and she would talk too loud. I'm not kidding you. She would talk too loud. I would just start bawling, like crying my eyes out. Or I'd get a really nice text from one of my friends and I would just start crying. Or today, AJ Hurt podiumed in the slalom, and yesterday Val won the GS, and I just started crying for both of them. I was full on crying, and I'm not an overly emotional person. Like I am, I'd say quite even keeled. So it's definitely weird to feel like such extreme emotions sometimes, but just understand that like your body is going through so much right now, trying to heal. I know that like every ounce of extra energy I have is going to my leg. There's no question about it, because sometimes I'll just be sitting and pass out, like fall asleep. I'll just be all of a sudden so tired. But just don't get frustrated with yourself. It's good to like tell people how you're feeling, because I think at first I was trying really hard to, you know, contain how frustrated I would get or irritated I would get by the dumbest things. And now, like, I told my mom when she was here, look, I'm already maxed out. Like, any little thing is going to push me over the edge. So I'm not like actually irritated. It's just my body is trying to process all these emotions, and it's just the way it is. You can't change it. You can try to work through it, and you can try to suppress what you're feeling, but honestly, it's not worth it, because it's just going to build up even more. And I noticed this in physio the other day. Like, we were working on getting my knee bending more, and it was the first day we had like really pushed my knee to get to 60 degrees, because that's the like max that I can bend it right now. And they really wanted me to get there, and I was really close. So we were pushing, and you know, there's a lot of some swelling still in my joint, and there's a lot of plates. So things weren't comfortable, and I was just sitting and just started crying. And the physio was like, yes, this is good. Like, let the tears out. It like not only helps relax your body, but it also is helping you get those emotions out, so that you're not just suppressing them and building them up. So that was kind of a strange experience for me, because I don't love crying. Like, okay, crying's fine, but it's definitely like frustrating when you can't control the crying. So it's normal. Not just from my experience, from other people's experiences too, it's normal to be like maxed out emotionally, and anything that's above what you're just dealing with on a regular basis is going to feel way more extreme. So be patient with yourself, and don't try to push it, because what's the point? Eventually, I'm like, yeah, just be nice to yourself. There's no point in pushing your emotions or like your capacity to deal with things, because who cares? You're gonna cry, you're in a hospital, you're dealing with an injury. There's a million things that are going on in your body, so just let it out, and it's normal. Okay, this was such a random episode, but hopefully it was like semi-entertaining, because I'm not even totally sure what I talked about. I am basically off my painkillers now, so I am back on my like ADHD grind, and I have a lot of thoughts, and they segue into new ones that don't go with the plan. But maybe next time I'll have a better plan. So hopefully you enjoyed. This is what my life has been like the last 2 weeks. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you for supporting. And I will see you next time. Bye.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list: teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.